Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered, only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.
Welcome in, San Diego. It's Jade Hindman. On today's show, we've heard all about the learning loss that can happen to students over the summer break. Well, local programs are working to keep literacy rates up, and they've got some advice for parents. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. School's out for summer break, and for some, that means falling behind academically. Research shows that during summer, the average student loses between 17 and 34% of what they learned the previous school year. That trend is even more pronounced for economically disadvantaged students. But there are local programs working to combat summer learning loss, especially when it comes to reading. Joining me now to discuss this are two guests working to promote early literacy. Jose Cruz is the CEO for the San Diego Council on Literacy. Jose, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. And also Dr. Marcia Spitzer, a pediatrician and medical director for Reach Out and Read San Diego, which is a nonprofit partnering with doctors to promote reading. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
So I want to start by sort of putting into picture the problem here. What do early literacy rates look like in our region, Jose?
Well, it's not so much early literacy rates. It's probably the early grades, you know, where we're seeing first and second, third graders not emerging as the readers we would like them to be. And by third and fourth grade, we're seeing the data coming out. You know, we can tell you today that, you know, half of our fourth graders attending school in San Diego County are not meeting the standard for reading. And so all of that is, so much of that is founded upon the things that take place in those early child development years, the work that's being done with a number of organizations in our community and with Reach Out and Read, for example. They'll have a whole lot more to say about this, but just all the things that can be happening, should be happening, ideally that, you know, we want happening so that when that child comes to school, they've already been exposed to print, they know language, they've been read to, they're understanding the concept of sound letter associations, and they just have this love for books already. You know, it's so important. Attitude is powerful, and stories are fun and such, and to have that in those early years is quite often all that some families need, all that some children need to get off to a good start.
Absolutely. Dr. Spitzer, you come at this from a medical perspective. So what are the benefits of reading starting at a young age?
Part of our program with Reach Out and Read really grew from was this recognition that pediatricians and other clinicians who see children have many, many touch points in the first few years of life with children, long before children are entering Head Start or preschool. And so with Reach Out and Read, we kind of combine the power of those routine visits with the pediatrician with the power of early book sharing and reading for families. And so at every well-child visit up through age 5, a child is given a new developmentally appropriate, language appropriate book, but we don't just give the book. We also talk about the importance of sharing books and sharing a love of reading with your child.
Why do you look at this as a medical issue?
That's a great question. So we know that children who are read to and who enjoy books, they may feel more connected with healthcare as well. They certainly are going to be more ready to start learning when they get to school. And we certainly know that educational outcomes affect a person's healthcare, their ability to succeed in the future. And so by building those early kind of blocks of literacy and building relationships with families and with pediatricians, we know that we're helping to set the groundwork for future success.
Well, Jose, what are some advantages of early literacy beyond improving test scores and school performance?
Well, I mean, it's families coming together around a real fundamental, and we quite often don't think about it that way, but telling stories, pictures, colors, shapes, numbers, all of those things real fundamentals that we all live with and that we all grow with and even apply to, you know, our careers many years later. So there's all of that. There's the quality family time. You know, those listeners out there who are parents who have read to their kids understand what I'm talking about. It's one of those times that you really do come together. It's kind of that time out. It's focus on books. It's focus on the relationship between the reader, the parent, and the child. And it's just a grand and memorable time. It's a good thing to be doing for so many reasons.
Well, Marcia, what are some challenges when it comes to addressing gaps in literacy among kids?
Right. So the biggest one is availability of books. Right. If you don't have books in your home for a child, it's really hard to build a culture around early reading. So, you know, we know from the Reach On Read model that families who participate in a program like Reach On Read, not just the 10 books that they get from us through the program, but they're more likely to go to the library, to get other books, you know, to share as a family. They're 2.5% or 2.5 times more likely to read with their children at home. And to also say that reading as a family is an activity that they really enjoy. We also know that having more books at home helps not just the children 0 to 5, but as those children get older, kind of like Jose said, it also helps continue that sort of love of learning and love of reading. And we know with early childhood, those relationships that Jose talked about are so important. What children need, we talk about the safe, stable, nurturing relationships. And so just like he said, for anyone who's listening, who's been a parent, who's been a grandparent, who's been an aunt or an uncle, that moment when you have a child on your lap and you're sharing a book together, it brings a smile to that child's face. It also brings a smile to that parent or caregiver's face. And so you're building literacy skills, but you're also building those wonderful relationships that allow children to succeed in so many parts of life.
Well, Jose, you know, as Marcia just mentioned, having those books in home is a big help and advantage. But for so many families, it's a privilege, and not everyone has it. Can you talk a bit about how the learning gaps are really pronounced in some folks who may be economically disadvantaged and where we see those communities in San Diego?
Oh, yeah. And it's learning gaps is one way of expressing it, but it's really a resource gap and also an information gap that, you know, you can have the books in the home and underestimate the value of spending time reading a book to a child. So you have that issue. So it's a two. It's having books and then knowing what to do. And books are expensive, you know, so we do what we can from our end. And I know that's what they do at Reach Out and Read is get those books to the families that need them the most. When you look at the San Diego community, and it is very much tied to income, low income communities versus middle income versus high income. And you look at the data across the board, San Ysidro, Southeastern communities, Encanto, City Heights, Barrio Logan, et cetera, where you know you have low income families, a high percentage of them, you're going to see lower rates of literacy achievement. You're going to see lower rates of parents and other adult individuals graduating from high school or going to college. It is a cycle of poverty as well as sometimes, you know, not growing up in an environment where you have the support and the resources that you need to grow as a reader. So as an adult, you're not quite in the position that you would want to be, that we would want you to be, to read to a child. So things continue on until there's some intervention, some resources, and of course, doing the kind of education with parents that the Reach Out and Read program does.
I want to bring technology and this digital age that we live in into the conversation. Marcia, how does technology complicate the goal of helping more kids become literate?
That's a great question, because every day there's a new social media platform or something else that's looking for eyes of children to be on it, right? And so there has been some work around what do digital books like? How about educational programming? And what we know is that nothing beats the paper book or the board book, right? There's just nothing has that same level of impact as a child and a caregiver and a physical book where you can turn pages, you can hold it up. If you're a small child, you're learning how to turn pages, you're learning how to point to things. And those physical books are still so very important. And we know that even when a lot of our families, even if their own literacy skills are not where they think someone should be to be reading aloud to your child, we talk about how it doesn't have to even be a book sometimes. You could start with a book and then a family member could just tell a story, or a family member could sit with a three-year-old and point to everything on the page that's pink, or you know, find the doggy. So there are many ways to interact with the books beyond just sort of the reading from cover to cover. And we know that time and time again, the physical book wins out over anything that we can find in technology.
Well, Jose, even though, you know, nothing beats a physical book, technology is a tool. So from where you sit, are there better ways we could be using it to prevent literacy loss?
You know, it's I keep hearing from people, especially as it relates to AI, you know, we need to work with AI. We are in a whole other age, and it's been hard for me, and I think for a lot of us, to fully make that transition. That we do live in a flat screen society, a video centric society, and that's part of life today. So we have to accept that and live with that. That you know, we have provided our families and our children with computers and space to teach themselves. This is a society of young people who are learning things on their own. Because of what we've done with technology and computers and YouTube, et cetera. I mean, you can learn how to work on your car. You could do so much, and it doesn't require reading the way that it used to. So as I think part of it is just coexisting with it and taking the best of it and using it, for example, to make up for some of those losses. By accessing programming that helps people develop their reading skills. So yeah, you have all of these things that are taking place at the same time.
Another aspect I often hear a lot about is just simply making reading more enjoyable and accessible for young kids. And Marcia, there are so many books to recommend depending on age group or background. What kinds of books are resonating with kids these days?
So some of the old classics are still around. People still love to Pat the Bunny. They still like to read Goodnight Moon. Kids still love to watch The Very Hungry Caterpillar, and they like to hear about Clifford the Big Red Dog. We know for the youngest children, those board books that maybe only have a page or a word or two on a page that have those chunky pages that little hands can practice turning, mm-hmm. and that frankly can be put in your mouth and they don't fall apart. Those are important for the youngest children. Youngest children also love to see pictures of other children. So that's why often you'll find pictures, it almost looks like mirrors, right? Little kids smiling, little kids sleeping, little kids eating. And those are also pictures that are so important to our youngest readers or youngest appreciators of books. And then, you know, when you get into kind of 18 months, 2 years, 3 years, kids love rhyming books. That's why things like Itsy Bitsy Spider at that age are super popular, because kids love the rhyming aspect. There's a little bit of a story. They can be an expert at that story. They know what's happening next. And we're often still using those chunky board books. And then, you know, we move ahead to kind of the four-year-old, the five-year-old who's maybe in Head Start or at TK or kindergarten. And those kids have graduated to the paper pages. They can manage to turn those pages. They're not putting books in their mouths anymore. And they love stories and they love to be part of those stories. So one of the things I talk to parents about as I'm thinking about school readiness and a child who's maybe going to be starting TK or kindergarten in the fall is we'll use the book to sort of assess, does this child know their colors? Do they know their shapes? Are they starting to learn some of the letters of the alphabet? I'll often ask if they can find the letters from their own name. And children at this age also can use their imagination. So with the new book, sometimes it's fun to start the story and then for a parent or caregiver to pause and say, well, what do you think is going to happen next? Or why is that character sad? Why is that character mad? And that can lead to a great discussion with the child. And that's all using the book.
Well, and there's also a lot of value when a child can see their identity or culture reflected in a story. How can teachers and parents encourage a wider selection of books in the classroom and also have that wider selection at home?
So we talk a lot about mirrors and windows, that concept that mirrors show you maybe someone who looks like you or is in a culture like you. Whereas windows are a great way to look into someone else's lives. And certainly in San Diego, we have such a rich cultural background. We have so many languages spoken here in San Diego as well, that for us, oftentimes we are able to give a book in the language that the family speaks at home. And for our Reach Out and Read here in San Diego, that's more than 20 languages. But we also know that those can be opportunities to learn about other cultures. So I love to give books also that talk about cultural events or just cultural norms in other ways besides the culture of that child.
After the break, we'll talk about how reading promotes civil engagement and connection across communities. KPBS Midday Edition is back after the break.
Stay connected to the world around you. KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.
Welcome back to KPBS Midday Edition. I'm Jade Hindman. Summer vacation tends to be a time when kids put down their books and get outside. And while that vitamin D is so very important, so is keeping up a summer reading habit. Right now, we're discussing the importance of year-long learning, and I'm speaking with Jose Cruz, CEO for the San Diego Council on Literacy, also Dr. Marcia Spitzer, a pediatrician and medical director for Reach Out and Read San Diego, which is a nonprofit partnering with doctors to promote reading. Jose, one thing we know is that traditions or consistent structure within a kid's family dynamic can really help them grow a love for reading. So how does parent engagement affect literacy in that way?
Oh, it's powerful, and quite often it is the most powerful thing that just past studies, and going all the way back to when I started literacy work, showing that the survival of the child and the child emerging as a reader is fully dependent on the educational level of the mother. Now, I think Reach Out, Read may have similar statistics and such, but it really does start with that relationship. And yeah, I don't think you can replace that with anything. So it can be that simple.
Yeah. Marcia, right now, the number of parents reading to their kids is actually at an all-time low. That's according to a 2024 survey by HarperCollins. Some parents just don't enjoy reading to their kids, while others just can't find the time. What's your reaction to that trend?
So I think it's important for families to understand that there are many ways to kind of encourage a love of reading or a love of looking at books. It doesn't always have to be a traditional, we're going to sit down at 6 o'clock and we're going to read this book from beginning to end, right? That already doesn't sound very fun, just the way I said it. You know, I talk to families a lot about, let's say we give out a book that's eating the alphabet A to Z, and it's got pictures of like drawings of different vegetables and stuff like that. And so I'll sometimes talk to parents if I get that book about, like, next time you go to the grocery store and your child's, you know, in the little seat in the grocery cart, you guys can look for some of those actual vegetables that match what you had in the book. You can even bring the book with you and see, you know, if you can find some of those things. And so that's a way to interact with the book that's more engaging for some parents. It's more physically active, so some children might do better with something like that. That's one way we would do it. And that I was telling parents that telling stories is so important. I think Jose said that as well, like sharing their culture, sharing stories that are important to them. So some of it can be just that oral storytelling, even if at that moment you don't have a book in front of you. And we know that during uncertain times, having that habit of sharing reading, sharing books together can be so grounding for children. You know, as a pediatrician, I saw this 5 years ago at the beginning of the pandemic. We had families who were not coming into the doctor, like most people weren't, because of a fear of getting sick and just so many precautions. And when families did come in, I would talk to them about, you know, when I gave the Reach Out and Read book, like there's so much uncertainty in our world right now. But one thing that can give certainty is that habit of sitting down every day and sharing a book with a child. No matter what else is going on in the world, you can have that shared, reliable experience together.
Jose, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I love it. I mean, I think that there are certain really basics in families, parent-child relationships, being on a schedule, having predictability in your life. You know, a lot of that we take for granted, you know, until we see families, you know, children who come to school not with a good night's rest, not having eaten breakfast, you know, mental health issues, things happening with parents, unemployment, all of those things. I mean, just think of the opposite of it versus, you know, what we hope is happening in all families where, you know, there is a sense of safety and love and vitality, interest, growth, vocabulary, giving, sharing, listening, just all the things that life is about, you know, versus, you know, drama and instability. I mean, I think we just, you can't take it for granted. We can't get too much of it. And it's something we should strive to provide as a society, a community for all children and all families.
You know, earlier we talked about the cognitive benefits of reading. And I think it's also important to point to the ways reading can connect us, you know, for example, introducing kids to new experiences and cultures. Marcia, how does early literacy build community?
Well, certainly it allows us to introduce children to things they might not see in San Diego. I love to give out a classic. It's called Snowy Day. Because many of our children have never experienced snow here in San Diego. And so it's a way to introduce them to something they might not otherwise get, that face-to-face touch experience, being cold, all that stuff. So I think it's important that we use those opportunities to help expand kids' minds with some of those books that maybe represent things they haven't had contact with before. And it helps us to build community when they know that even if maybe it's a story about a community that's not their own, but they maybe know people that are in a community like that. And so then it allows children and parents, frankly, to have a better understanding of what other people are going through.
You know, Jose, as our community and communities across the country really see resources cut from their local libraries, for example, I think it underscores the connection between literacy and civic engagement, because the very reason these cuts are happening is because of recent policy, and policy is really influenced by civic engagement. So how do you view that connection?
The statistics will show that families and adults who read, who are able to read, are well informed, better informed about causes, and are significantly more likely to vote. And I think it really does come down to being aware of what's happening in your community, and acting, you know, and having that confidence. It's a really big thing. Talking about connectivity and relationships and feeling tied into your community. So much of that is about confidence. And when we read, when we're informed, you know, we have more of that. And we feel more a part of, you know, we talk about reading and community. It does work both ways. But that, as, it's again just a very simple thought that people who read have more access to information, and the whole confidence piece is powerful. Attitude, again, being powerful and having a sense of having some control, some influence upon your community is dependent on confidence. So, and then again, reading versus not being a reader, feeling excluded, feeling different, feeling like, you know, you're the only one, whether you're a child who's 6 or 7 years old and not getting it, and knowing that you're one of the kids who's not getting it, versus being someone who has a basic skills, and being an adult also who has those skills and applies them.
Yeah. Well, Marcia, what are your thoughts on how reading can help the next generation become connected to social and civic issues that really shape the community?
Well, as a pediatrician, my focus is mainly on the health and well-being of children. And, you know, we certainly know there that education and healthcare go hand in hand. They're both about access, right? Children, we want all children to have access to high-quality education, and we want all children to have access to high-quality healthcare. And we know children who, like Jose said, children who are reading more, who are more successful in school, they're more likely to be successful in life. That may include civil engagement. And it also includes a better healthcare and better health status.
How, you know, my next question leads me into current events, and that is how national news is really impacting us right here at home. Of course, yesterday, the Supreme Court allowed the Trump administration to move forward with planned mass layoffs at the Department of Education. How could those impact the work you're doing to promote literacy among youth right now in San Diego?
The instability is not helpful. That's one part of it. Of funding for books, we rely upon, for example, the success of corporate America and foundations, others to contribute to greater literacy in our communities by donating books, for example. And they're better able to do that when they're succeeding at what they're doing. Over the past, since 2016, the San Diego Council on Literacy has been involved in the collection and distribution of over more than 500,000 books. But those books came from foundations and also corporations that had the ability to make those contributions. We know now that companies are working more conservatively, watching their money more closely, just being careful about being able to succeed as a company so that they survive in this environment. So that's going to affect us. That's going to affect the resources that we are already struggling to generate for people who need them the most. We just have to do the best with what comes in. You know, we have to be resourceful and just, you know, not let ourselves be distracted by what's taking place. And at the same time, of course, you know, taking action the best way that we can as community members.
Well, Marcia, anything to add to that?
I think I would just say that, you know, in light of last week's congressional vote to decrease the amount of funding that will go to important programs like Medicaid and SNAP or CalFresh here in California to support the health and well-being of children, I get equally concerned about anything that will impact the access to high-quality education for children as well.
Well, the start of the school year is just around the corner here, if you can believe it or not. So what are your priorities for improving literacy in San Diego? Jose, I'll start with you.
I don't think there's any secrets. I think it really is about continuing the work that we're doing here in San Diego County. We work with a network of 34 youth, adult, and family literacy programs. This is the Literacy Network with the San Diego Council on Literacy, Reach Out and Read, and others, to continue to do that work, to continue to get those books out there, recruit volunteers, make ourselves smarter about the best ways of teaching reading. I think we have a winning formula, and it's just a matter of continuing to to put that formula into play and to put also into the minds of our listeners the role that they can be playing in their community, that they can contribute to a culture where and to messaging that says reading is important. It is important to all of us, and we're going to back that up by doing all of these things together so that our kids get the message, whether it's at age one month or if it's age 18, whatever. We always say it's never too late. And of course, at Reach Out and Read, they say it's never too early. And let's continue to do all of that because it works, but we need more to make sure that this is a community where we have literacy for all.
And Marcia, what about you? What are some goals you're working towards ahead of the upcoming school year?
Sure. So Reach Out and Read San Diego, we are fortunate to reach more than 100,000 children each year. And a lot of those touch points happen in this summertime when a lot of families are seeing the doctor for their child's kind of back to school exam or their well child exam. So we have lots of opportunities in July and August to continue to talk about the importance of Reach Out and Read, sharing books, not just with our 0 to 5 age group that we focus on, but all the way through. And I love having conversations in the exam room with my 5 and 6 and 8 and 10-year-old patients and my high schoolers that sometimes come in with a book. And we'd love to talk about their favorite books, what they've read, what they're excited to read. And it's just a great opportunity to continue that message.
All right. Well, if anyone is looking to get your kids reading this summer, there's plenty of resources on our website at kpbs.org. I've been speaking with Jose Cruz, CEO for the San Diego Council on Literacy. Jose, thank you.
Thank you.
And also Dr. Marcia Spitzer, a pediatrician and medical director for Reach Out and Read San Diego, which is a nonprofit partnering with doctors to promote reading. Dr. Spitzer, thank you.
And thank you for the opportunity.
That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
Start your day with Morning Edition and wind it down with All Things Considered, only on KPBS. From global headlines to local stories, stay informed, inspired, and connected. Tune in daily or listen anytime at kpbs.org.